Hello, creepies, and welcome to another middle-aged mini-episode on the Middle-Aged and Creeped Out podcast. Enjoy the show.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to Middle-Aged Mini number 19. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, gentlemen?
Oh my gosh, a full recording night.
No doubt.
It's been awesome.
Yeah.
Did you like that gentleman, by the way?
Gentleman?
Gentle.
You guys were looking around like, who's he
gentle
talking to?
Gentle person? Who? Yeah, exactly.
You gentlemen.
The politically correct term is gentle person.
Gentle person. Gentleman.
Gentle Sean.
Gentleman.
Gentle Sean.
No, you guys doing all right?
Yeah, we're good.
Doing good.
We're good.
Got a little mini number 19
we're
coming
up. We're ending on a
creepies.
Mini.
Yeah. It has been a very productive, busy night of recording.
It has.
It's just our game, right? Mm-hmm. Like Doc Holliday.
Guest chat, something a little field trip, and now we're going to talk about something even well, I'm not. No, it's all fun, but it's just as fun.
Well, why don't you tell the creepies what we're going to discuss?
We're going to talk about Fort Morgan, Alabama. It is a place that Nate and I got to see firsthand when we were on fall break, and we were joking about how enough time has passed. I mean, it's not that much time, really. I mean, it was in October. We're just in November.
I don't remember any of it.
So I'm going to carry
might this. Might as well been last year, is what Nate's saying.
Nate, super genius over there.
I know, I was there. There's pictures.
No, exactly. And we had family there, too.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is...
They
so
came,
we,
too.
We stayed at Fort Morgan. Not the Fort Morgan. We stayed just off of Fort Morgan, but where it's considered. But then we drove down. It's not very far.
How far were you guys?
To,
and I'm going to tell you, creepies, like I know nothing about this place, so I'm listening
we
just like
you. We were down in the very, like the bottom of Alabama where the two little dingly danglies are. That's
hey,
all
keep
I'm
it clean.
Say. I'm keeping
keep
it clean.
Clean.
Dingly danglies. And then Fort Morgan's in between them.
Okay.
I mean, right?
It's at the end of the peninsula of the outer coastline.
Yeah.
That is the mouth to the Mobile Bay.
No. Well, I mean, like, are you guys an hour away, half hour away?
Oh, from the fort?
Mm-hmm. Like, where you guys stay?
10 minutes.
Oh,
15
wow.
minutes.
But go back like to that. The dingly danglies. No,
I was hoping dingly-dangly. To leave the dingly danglies.
He's like, geez, no, Sean. Here, I'm going to make it sound a little bit better than that. So everybody from Alabama was like, what in the world? Click, click.
Oh, yeah, we just got Tuscaloosa.
We did.
And there goes Tuscaloosa.
I know, they're like, bye, Tuscaloosa. So Fort Morgan is a historic masonry pentagonal bastion fort at the mouth of Mobile Bay, Alabama, United States. Got to say United States, the dingly danglies. Named for Revolutionary War hero Daniel Morgan, it was built on the site of the earlier Fort Boyer, an earthen and stockade-type fortification involved in the final land battles of the War of 1812. Construction was completed in 1834 and received its first garrison in March of the same year. And the construction was started 18 of what we see now today is from 1819 to 1834. Fort Morgan is at the tip of Mobile Point at the western terminus. That's a lot better than dingly dingles of State Route 180 in Alabama. It was Dolphin Island on which Fort Gaines is situated, enclosed Mobile Bay. The Alabama Historical Commission maintains the site.
Ooh, okay.
Fancy.
I guess so. So 15 years to complete.
And you drive up to this thing and it's pretty cool to see.
It's gargantuan, yeah.
Yeah, you drive up to it and it's like, oh, yeah, this it's a fort.
It's definitely a fort.
It's big.
Cool. Well, you can. Their houses, as you come up to, and they had some hurricane damage because a recent hurricane. Oh. It even says, you know, pardon. There's, you know, hurricane damage that's being worked on. You know, pardon that. Pardon.
I think
that.
A lot of those were what do they call them? Barracks or something
mm-hmm. yes.
from World War One and Two.
Yep, which were neat.
Yeah,
they really were neat. But yeah, people were working.
But they were damaged though.
They were damaged and they were being worked on.
Gotcha.
I like the fact that it was called the Guardian of the Bay. This fort, I like that name. Mm-hmm. I was listening to some different stories on it.
Nice.
But there are definitely. It is supposed to be the most haunted place in Alabama. I did not know that when I was looking this stuff up. I thought that in when we were there, I didn't
or
know that
as
either.
We're walking around.
Yeah, as we're walking around.
Walking in the dark rooms.
It is. We've got some great pictures
but
from it.
I'm going to guess that Nate had his trusty flashlight.
I did not have my flashlight.
I don't know if I want to listen to anymore.
I didn't know that I would require it.
He didn't, but let's say we were back in the bowels of this place, and it honestly, it would take hours to go around every place. We did not make it through the full thing. We made it through a lot. Wow. But we were back in one of those dark rooms, and Ella thought it would be hilarious that you could climb into this little window, but it was this dark room, and she wanted to scare anybody she could. So I said, Nate, Rachel, I think this room back here is haunted. Can you take a look at it? And it was Ella. She just wanted him to be like, there's some little girl spirit back there. She was trying to scare him.
Hello.
Well, that ghost looks a lot like That's Ella.
Cute. That's cute, yeah.
But it was funny. But Harrison he made a comment that it looked like a Call of Duty game back there. And it did. Yeah, it was very, I called it like very peaceful and serene, stoic. You could feel kind of the energy. There has been a lot of death there. There's been a lot of people that have died. But he said he's got a Call of Duty World War II game, which he actually played with your boys while we were there. But it is. It's just if you really stop and think, you know, and kind of take your mind away from where you're at, you would feel like you're in some kind of a European battlefield, you know, in some ways. It was kind of weird.
Well, then in all these archways, there's a window at the end of it, and you can look at the floor, and there's curved granite stone with a metal track. Some of them, the track was gone. It's rotted away, but a metal track, and that's where cannons were placed. And then they had that stone and track, because everything else is brick. And well, the brick isn't substantial enough to hold the weight of a big cannon. So they had the stone with the metal runner on there so that they can turn
gotcha.
The cannons.
So I was not understanding why were they having metal. Now it makes sense.
Yeah.
For the cannons, gotcha. And to turn them. Yeah.
But then you look at it because really the whole fort is surrounded by the land mounds from the very first portion of the fort.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you look out these windows and all you see is a mound. So it's like they're just firing rounds out to anywhere. They must have had spotters or something to try to tell them, hey, aim here.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't see the water or nothing. All you saw was earth.
Oh, wow.
So it's sort of it's
wild. Kind of
wild, yeah.
A little tricky.
It was fun to investigate some of that stuff. And they had plenty of placards and stuff around giving history and how they did some of these things. But it was yeah, it was fun because Nate's mind was at work, and it was kind of fun to figure out how, like, you know how they did this, right? And I'm like, I didn't realize some of the stuff, and I'm like, that's really cool. I'm like, look what Nate figured out.
I wouldn't know any of that stuff.
The other thing, did you want to tell them about the what we just figured out with the the stalactite?
When you're walking through here, and we'll have pictures posted, obviously.
Really good and, pictures. We were sending them to Todd while we were there. I was like, look, Todd. I'm like, we're going to have to do a mini on this.
But yeah, you look at the pictures and you see a bunch of white streamy stuff and some copper. I mean, all sorts of minerals in the brick walls. But hanging off, it's forming slagtites and slagmites. And it's white, creamy color. So with it being on the Gulf with all the salt water, me and Sean were sort of figuring it was salt residue over
that's what
all
we were
these
telling
years.
The kids anyway. Like, makes it. I'm like,
salt,
oh yeah, that
you know, that's
makes
pretty
sense.
Cool. Well, that's actually I should have read the pamphlet.
in full detail.
Yeah, I should have read the pamphlet while I was there.
We perused it.
we're just hitting the main topics.
Sure,
no,
white
stalactites and stalagmites located around the fort is calcium lime used in the brick mortar during the construction.
Hmm.
Okay.
So it's
and that makes sense.
Over the years in the water and dropping. Everything, it's pulling all the calcium lime out of
but
the
what you guys
mortar.
Thought makes sense too. I mean, if you're
it gives a very beautiful and yet creepy and yet very just serene.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it adds to the mystique of the place and just the age look and you know, the age and the look of it. This says arguably one of the most haunted places on the Gulf Coast and even the state of Alabama sits at the end of the Fort Morgan Peninsula, Fort Morgan. The historic fort has been the site of much bloodshed from the War of 1812 to World War II, and many believe the souls of those who perished are still around. Step back in time. It's easy to do it's easy to do at Fort Morgan, where the walls, the battlefields, are all steeped in history and something else. There is plenty of blood that was spent here in the fort. That blood fuels tours through the dark passageways of the fort where lives of those lost are remembered. By the way, there was little like bunkers too that we found, and then little mm-hmm. peek throughs where they could like shoot people that were coming around the passages if they were under attack.
Yeah,
little bomb shelters.
Yeah,
that makes me think of that. That was kind of weird too, and that was cool.
They stored ammo and
ammunition as well.
There's a bunch of different battery stations, which a battery is where a big gun is.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
and some of them are outside the fort, but part of the fort on its own little wall, and yeah, you had these little cavernous little rooms or whatever
that we got to explore in. It's very cool
using the light of our phones.
I'm still disappointed, Nate.
Oh, I know. I mean, I should have brought a flashlight.
I cannot believe
that. Never again, right?
I cannot believe that.
I'll be prepared from now on.
Soldiers, prisoners. This is interesting. 3,500 Muskegee Indians were held here, and almost 100 of them never left. 93 perished on property, says historian Dylan Tucker. They boxed them and placed them on property. We're not sure where, and that's our biggest mystery today. They also said that...
How many? 3,500?
3,500,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
They also had, they said umpteen, I don't know how many different slaves were used to build this fort, and they said many of them perished
well
on site, so they have a lot of their ghosts as well. How could Fort Morgan not be haunted? Some argue they didn't want to be here when they were alive, so why would they want to be here when they're dead? People said they've been tapped. They've heard footsteps around the fort. They hear screams. There was a guy that killed himself in 1917, and they said they still hear him like sobbing and weeping and crying out for help. And then he was a prisoner there, and he went mad and killed himself, hung himself. At night, they say the spirits bring the fort back to life. Could be, says visitor Joseph Thayer. I'm a little bit of a skeptic when it comes to ghosts, but who knows? I've never seen one. Heard people that have, though. And it does. It closes, 5 o'clock, so that we couldn't stay there at night. But I bet at night it would be. It's cool during the day and creepy, but it would be so creepy at night.
Yeah,
and you could easily get hurt. So, easily hurt.
Oh, yeah, the stairways to go up to the top levels. I mean, they're some of the steepest and biggest stepped.
They had a rail
stairs.
On them now, but I wonder if
I've ever seen.
I bet they've not always.
How tall
had.
Is like the highest? Would you say like how? I mean, how tall? Just from the ground up.
From the ground up, I'd say between 25-30 foot tall.
Yeah,
so two or three stories, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's pretty tall. I mean,
and then like the heart and soul of a lot of the warfare. Capabilities of the fort was this battery Duperdale. I hope I said that right. But it was, and this is what fascinated me, is that they were built and placed in 1898 and 1899, and it was the mounting of two 12-inch breech-loading rifles known as the Disappearing Guns. The guns used 268 pounds of explosives to fire a 1,046-pound shell up to 8.5 miles.
Whoa.
Back at the turn of the century, that and crazy. They're firing a round that big that far.
That's crazy, isn't it?
That is.
And they called them disappearing guns, and they had like video in the – there's a little museum there, too, as you exit. But they're big. Like I said, 12-inch round-barreled cannons, or rifles is what they call them. Well, it was a whole apparatus that lifted the gun over top of the wall of the fort, and after it fired, with the mechanism and everything, they had come back down to absorb the recoil. And so they had disappeared behind the wall.
Hence,
so if you're... out there getting fired upon, you hear the round,
but then you can't
see where it's at. The gun's disappeared.
That is weird.
Yeah,
or cool. I mean, cool, but just
yeah, so that's pretty neat.
That would
little
be
history.
Weird, not yeah.
And to think that was all built 1898. I mean, that's.
I mean, it'd be something
pretty wild.
Now to, have something like
Some of the haunting stuff, it says apparitions and screams. Many guests say they believe there are spirits and ghosts still present in the fort. It's easy to time travel as you walk through the massive archways along the same corridors where soldiers lived, worked, and died for just over a century. On one particular summer night at dusk, This Rodewald was stationed in a back room of the fort near a row of casemates, an armored structure where guns are fired, dressed in a period soldier uniform. His assignment was to tell visitors about the deaths in the fort from the time of the construction to its closure after World War II. According to this Rodewald, three young women entered the candlelit entrance and stopped to take a picture of the doorway that that runs through five of the casemate rooms. They are toward the end of the group coming in. They are toward the end of the group coming in. Just as one of them is in the process of taking the picture, one of them shouts, "Did you see that?" The other says, "Yes." They pull the picture up on their phone, and sure enough, there is an orb-like object in the photo, he recalls. They ask me if anyone else is back there. I tell them we are the only people in this part of the fort. They are a little spooked with what just happened, he says with a smile. I cannot explain what they saw, but they saw something. So there have been, and it says there's been a lot of those sightings, you know, with all the different activities and stuff that have happened there. And there was, this talks about that guy in 1917, a prisoner hanged himself. According to many reports, you can still hear the hanging man cry late at night. Visitors say they also hear footsteps and have been touched.
Yeah, it played a role in the Civil War, too. If I remember, was it a cistern building in the center of the fort? It was all made out of wood. I believe it housed 400 soldiers, if I remember correctly. Just going off memory. When the Union attacked the fort and it caught fire, and I think they stored gunpowder and stuff in there too.
So they
started throwing the powder down in the cisterns because you're out, it's out on a peninsula, so they didn't have access to fresh water. So if you look, look around what's still there, there's all these channel ways and they have around it on the exterior of the brick part of the fort. It's called a dry moat, but it still had like a little channel of water. And there's a tunnel that you have to go through to get into the fort. Well, down both sides of that tunnel is water channels, and there's water in it today. It still runs water, and there's a little fish in there too. If you sit there and you watch,
that's cool. Yeah, I saw that
swimming around.
That's funny.
But yeah, you look at like all the stairways, to the side of the stairs would be a slab of like granite, stone or whatever with a channel hollowed out in it. So that they basically made gutter systems to collect it. All the rainwater that would fall and guide it to these cisterns so they had fresh water. So that they'd be self-sufficient. They could be locked in there and have access
still
to fresh
water.
Yeah.
That's, man.
But anyhow, the Union attacked and caught that all on fire. So they're dumping all the fire or the gunpowder down in the wells because they're afraid it's going to blow up.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that whole center wooden structure burnt down and they took, I think, some
they
of it.
Pictures of it, yeah.
Yeah, I think whatever remained they tore down. They took it over to one of the other islands for something, build a pier or something like that.
Okay.
It's interesting because they said that during from 1812 and the World War One and Two, there was training, but you're right. Civil War. They said in the summer of 64, there was, I didn't know this. I know a little bit about the Civil War, but there's so many interesting things that I think a lot of people miss, but they were actually close to making a deal with the South that the South could secede and they would still have, you know, allow that to happen. Because they were they had such strongholds, but they had so many battles that they were losing, and the North knew that there were certain battles they had to win, and there were certain forts that they needed to make sure and either maintain or recapture. Fort Morgan was one of them. But it's funny that how close we were to becoming a divided country back then, and we don't think about that, but they say the Northerners were very frustrated because there were such massive losses. I mean, they were at like one battle. There was thousands and thousands of fatalities, and it's like, this is crazy. It's just a bloodbath. So people were really starting to put pressure that we got to make some kind of a deal with the South. But they said it was battles like this, the Battle of Mobile, that changed that course and started putting more pressure. The South was basically falling apart and didn't have that ability to make those kind of deals. But one of the most important expressions, I think this is a good way to kind of wrap up what we're talking about with Fort Morgan, is the expression "damn the torpedoes." Have you ever heard of that?
Oh yeah,
damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead.
I've heard that forever.
Mm-hmm. So it says, so is that we're not going. The meaning of it is we're not going to look at the risk. We're just going to do it and going straight forward. So the background to this is a tribute to David Glasgow Farragut. He's a U.S. naval officer who received an acclaim for his service to the Union during the American Civil War in 1864 at the Battle of Mobile. He refused to consider retreat, shouting the now famous phrase, albeit a rather longer version of it. It actually tells what he actually said. During the Civil War, Union ships imposed a blockade on Confederate ports. One of the few ports to defy the blockade was Mobile in Alabama. In August 1864, Farragut was tasked with closing the port, thus completing the blockade of southern ports. Mobile was heavily protected, both by shore batteries and by tethered naval mines known as torpedoes. Farragut ordered his fleet to charge the bay, but when one of the lead boats struck a mine and sank, the others pulled back. From his perch high up on the main mast of his flagship, the USS Hartford, Farragut shouted down using a trumpet, "What's the trouble?" In response, he was told the torpedoes, to which he apparently replied, "Damn the torpedoes, four bells, Captain Drayton, go ahead, Joette, full speed." The bulk of Farragut's fleet, consisting of four monitors and 14 wooden steamships, successfully entered the bay and, despite shelling from the guns at Fort Morgan, defeated Admiral Franklin Buchanan's squadron of three gunboats and the large ironclad CSS Tennessee, which they had a bunch of stuff in their little museum about that, blowing a hole in the ladder, causing Buchanan to run up the white flag and surrender. On December 21st, 1864, Lincoln promoted Farragut to vice admiral. He was made full admiral in 1866. So that
very
whole story, it's very interesting.
Yeah, I've heard damn the torpedoes forever.
Yeah, and I heard that too, and we kept seeing those things, and I'm like, yeah. So you got to read little things about it, and like I said, we went in the little gift shop / museum and looked around, and there was a lot of stuff on that that battle, and I think it's fascinating.
Yeah. I agree.
And I think it's awesome that this fort was utilized by the military from 1812 all the way up to World War II. Well, actually, it got decommissioned in, 1954?
I guess it was 50. So, yeah, it was 50 or 54, yeah. Something like that. I was saying 70, and then I looked back, and it was like 50. But you said it was like called a historical site from there in like 46 or 47, right?
Yeah, 46.
Yeah, okay. So
yeah.
It's got quite a history, honestly. And it is. It's a massive place, and it is. It's nice that people can go in there and look and just look. It's such a beautiful place. It's such a very, like I said, serene. You can feel the history, and it's just, honestly, I could have spent more time there. I remember we jokingly said everybody was getting hangry. Everybody was, yeah.
And it's not good when
there were ten of us all together. We had to do something, but it was fun. It was fun that everybody enjoyed as long as they did, honestly.
Yeah. And, I mean, the kids had fun, the wives had fun. And
it really was. It was great.
Yeah.
Again, like I'm listening again, creepies. I'm listening to it, not knowing anything about this place, just like you are.
Mm-hmm.
So as Sean and Nate are telling us, but I did look up. Said they do weddings there. They
that's pretty wild.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like,
let's get married at Fort Morgan. Why not?
Yeah.
Get married at the fort.
Do you think did they say or did you see any articles or did they talk about like? You know, they got the guy that hanged himself, and then you can hear different things. But I wonder if you can hear at certain times gunfire or
I think there's reports
stuff
of all
like that. Like actually, you know, ammunition being fired off.
Well, and there's a lighthouse there, too.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I love lighthouses.
That'd been awesome to find any information on that. Mm-hmm. I didn't read anything.
I didn't either.
Lighthouses are, I mean, they're cool. And we went to Mackinac Island. Well, we stayed in Mackinac City, and we went on a lighthouse tour. That's pretty cool. So,
oh yeah, I know that area.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
Fort Michilimack.
Yep. Yeah. So they call it the most haunted, or one of the most haunted places.
Yeah, and these a lot of these articles I read.
Because Alabama does have some
out
places.
Of the reports. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one of them we're going to do a mini on. I'll hold off on telling the. Creepies, what the name of it is, but
we'll leave that up to the imagination.
You figure though, these Civil War, World War One and Two, man, a lot of all the death and just conditions back then. I mean, just a lot of death from whatever.
Yeah. We don't think
you're going to have something.
We talked about this a little bit, I think, with the call Hitler and talking about how for a time there was a risk that we could be attacked during World War II, you know, on our soil. And a lot of those targets were New York or L.A. or where, you know, we talked about Battle of L.A. too. But in the Gulf there, and for a while, it was a heightened risk, you know, to get for Fort Morgan to be hit. But they said, I think it was on one of the things in the museum, it said, I think it was around 1942-ish. The risk was a lot less, so you know there wasn't as much. They were decreasing the troops around that area because
It's saying 1941 to 1944, U.S. Army, Navy, and Coast Guard operated the post as an ordnance depot and guarded against German U-boats in the Gulf.
Yeah, okay. And you don't think about that, do you?
No, I would have never thought.
Well, there's a whole list of history on this place. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Like I said, you can spend a lot of time. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm glad we went, honestly. Yeah. So I would recommend you're down that area, go visit Fort Morgan.
I guess so. And you said that they're not just the fort, but they have the grounds. I don't know what you want to call it.
There's other batteries like lined up with it down the coastline. It's in the park, but.
Yeah, the park. I was going to say, could you explore that? Yeah,
you can get in your car and drive down there to the other locations.
That'd be neat. Wonder what that entails. You know, like what
we're hangry, so the wives weren't with going and looking at those.
Oh, sure, throwing the wives under the bus.
You could get a really good. I went up as high as you could go.
Yeah, I like to check
and,
the place out.
The catwalks and all the stuff, and you could see the bay was beautiful. I mean, it was really neat.
Oh, I bet.
And all the houses and you could see all the oil rigs and all that kind of stuff.
Oil rigs
and then the ships going between the oil rigs. That was pretty cool.
Awesome. Well, anything else, guys, on Fort Morgan?
We're all Fort Morgan'd out.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
we remembered. It's like yesterday.
Yeah, you did good. Well,
shave and a haircut.
I'm proud of you. What do you think, Nate?
Stick a fort in this one.
Oh.
It's done. It's a wrap.
That's a wrap.
Good stuff.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for sharing that. I'm glad you guys went and you could tell us on this mini number 19. So until next time, Creepies, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.
See ya.
Later.
Later.